The Lord also spoke something to me, reminded me of something from a number of years ago, and I want to share this with you. When my family first moved here to Strathalbyn, there was a big flood the first year. And when I say a big flood, many of you will know the bridges around here in town. And there are photos of caravans that had floated down the river and got stuck at the top of the bridges. We had a lot of water flow through Strathalbyn in 2022. And I knew at the time God was doing something significant. However, he showed me again yesterday. And what I felt he was saying to me was that there was a period where he was flushing things out, where he was washing things away ahead of a new season of planting, growing, and reaping. That even all the small rivulets that came into the rivers leading into like the main Angus River were flushed and cleansed. As some of you may know, after a flood, there is always some cleaning up to do. The sense that the Lord gave me yesterday is that this cleanup time is done. We are now entering a season of work where there is some reordering and some realigning to happen. As that reordering and realigning is happening, there becomes a moment where it's time to scatter fresh seed. I believe we're on the precipice of that. We are being called to scatter fresh seed here in Strathalbyn and its surrounds. That was the word that I got yesterday. And so I would like to pray with you about it. Father, we thank you for the work that you have already been doing here in Strathalbyn, that you have been preparing for a move of your spirit in this place. But Lord, you don't just do it, but your timing is perfect and you call us as believers in Jesus Christ to partner with you in the work that you are doing through your Holy Spirit. Father, we are watching and listening for what you're doing because we want to partner with what we see our Father doing. And so would you continue to open our spiritual eyes to see more keenly what you are doing, to listen with open ears intently, and to have the courage to step out as you ask us to, when you ask us to step out. So we bless what you're doing here in Strathalbyn. We say, more, Lord, and here I am. Use me. In Jesus' name. We are moving into communion. But there is a little bit of Philippians that I skipped over last week. And I said to you, we're going to return to that for communion this week. So communion is going to go a little bit longer than usual, but not as long as a sermon. If you feel like it's getting sermon-y, just put your hands up and say, okay? Just let me know. All right. Have I got it up there? I do. Okay. The little passage is chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is a passage that many of us will have heard probably time and time again. But as I unpacked this, I thought, wow, this is quite powerful, especially as we come to the communion table. Rejoice in the Lord always. I would hang on to that just for a little bit, thank you, though. Not that quick. This rejoicing is not a false joy that you get to choose to put on, because the type of joy that we choose in and of ourselves is not the sort of joy that's going to last. Rejoicing is an enduring habit. It's not just for the sake of rejoicing, but this rejoicing is in the Lord. We rejoice in what Christ has done. We rejoice because of who Jesus Christ is, how the Father loves us, and our rejoicing, as Paul teaches, in the midst of our suffering, we can anchor our joy in Christ's finished work rather than in the current circumstances that we see going on around us. And this habit of rejoicing in the Lord develops what is said here to be reasonableness that can be seen by others. In the Greek, that word is epiikos, I think, something like that. It means tolerance, in fact, would be a better interpretation of that word rather than reasonableness. Let your tolerance of others be seen. You know, in every conversation, in every situation, we have choices to make. And it's the power of Christ's humility in us that needs to be seen. You know, it takes far more to show self-control than it does to show that you're right. The joy of showing off the humility of Christ comes from rejoicing in the Lord and his finished work. And so when we come to the communion table, we can rejoice because we're rejoicing in victory. It's not a funeral. It's a time to rejoice in the salvation that has been won by Jesus Christ. The back end of verse 5, he says, "The Lord is at hand." What does at hand mean? He's tangibly present. He's within our grasp. The communion table is the ultimate realization of the Lord's presence with us. It's a moment where we get to recognize that Jesus is near by his Spirit in us. And the gentleness or reasonableness or tolerance is all the more possible because we know we're standing in the presence of the Lord and we actually don't need to be defensive. Then he gets to one of those verses that there are so many words, you get to a point of say, where do the commas belong? Do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer with thanksgiving. At its very core, communion or the Eucharist is an act of thanksgiving. Eucharist is actually Greek for thanksgiving. It's an opportunity for us to bring our anxiety and our cares and our requests to God. And so when Paul says, don't be anxious for anything, he's not saying that there's nothing to worry about. He's not saying you're not going to come up against it and have situations in your life that might cause worry. But in actual fact, he's saying you can cultivate a practice and an attitude in your relationship with God where you can let him know what's going on, those situations that can cause worry. You can let him know what's going on. And before you even know the results of what's going on, you can give thanks to him that he is already outworking the situation, even though what you see in front of you might be a mess. So instead of focusing on the worry that is right in front of us, when we come to the communion table, we receive the reminder of the broken body of Jesus, the shed blood of our Christ, which is the ultimate proof of God's care and his outworking. An offering of thanks that we can give for his sustaining grace. The enemy is defeated. Death has passed over us, as Peter mentioned last week. We have salvation and a call to something so much greater in Jesus. Then we get to that little bit, the sentence that begins with "and," which for someone who really loves literacy knows that that is so very wrong. You don't begin a sentence with "and." So why has he done it? And the peace of God. The result of doing this. The result of rejoicing in the Lord, sharing your issues with him and thanking him for being at work in the midst of it, letting him do the work, is that he will give you the peace of God. This is not a pretty peace that you can just put on the shelf and say, oh, isn't it nice? It's not a puppy love kind of peace. This is the sort of peace that goes to war. It's a peace that garrisons your heart. It doesn't just guard it. It doesn't stand near and say, it's all right, I've got you. It garrisons. You know, the old Roman soldiers had those big full-length body shields and they would stand. And they would need a second person behind them to help them hold it up. And they would create a wall of shields. You cannot see a person behind these shields. This is that kind of peace. A peace that garrisons your heart. It stands at defense around your heart and your mind. Why? Our hearts and minds are our whimsical flesh. It's a space where we can imagine. And when we have stuff happening in front of us, I don't know about you, but there are times where I've gone, oh, I'm seeing this, this is bad. What if? Oh, but this person might have thought this, and then this might happen, and oh, what if they go over here, and what if they do that? I've just let my worry run away with me because of my heart and my mind imagining. We can be prone to our emotions and our thinkings getting away with us. This sort of peace, the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, holds us firm in the midst of the storms of life. And as we take communion, we have a tangible reminder of the peace that comes as a result of the new covenant when Jesus died and rose again and left his spirit for us. It's an opportunity as we come to the table to receive these things afresh. Can we hand out the communion, please? So as we take the communion, let's rejoice in our salvation. Let's recognize the Lord's tangible and near presence to us. Let's give thanks for his constant provision and hand at work. And let's receive his peace afresh as we hand him the things we need to, so that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. That the God of peace will be with you.